I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Start things off?
Yes, please.
Okay, I have one question.
Oh god. Call okay.
Is everyone okay?
No.
I'm not bad.
I'm not okay.
Are you okay, bro?
I've been better, but I'm not.
Is this in relation to a certain thing?
Oh,
just general.
Well, let's not get personal, shall we? But it's in relation to a certain thing.
Okay.
That I think we've all endured in an episodic form.
Mm-hmm. I think I may have the solution to what you're talking about.
Okay.
But first of all, welcome to And That's Why We're Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery and geekism and all else in between. And I feel like I would love it if I could just like, I wish I could play guitar and play the intro about the thing that I was going to talk about. But before that, bruv, how you doing? You all right? Are you okay?
I don't know if I, like, it took me a while to get over playing the game, like,
yep.
To the point I still haven't played part two.
Mm-hmm.
So, and watching it live action, oh my god. Oh okay. My god.
Little intro there, little sprinkle there.
That's all I'm going to say until you talk about it.
big man, how you doing? You all right? You okay?
I'm good. I mean, it's, like I said, I can't put into words what I witnessed. I mean, I was lucky enough to watch every time he went live, and unlike Brav, I played number two, and I don't really want to talk about it, but I'm okay. It's I've been better, but I'm okay.
Okay, it's my week, so I guess I always wish I had the little guitar intro, like, to kind of get in what I'm going to talk about. But this week, it's time. It's my turn. So it's time for us to talk about the Last of Us series. We're doing it. I know. It took us a while to get there, but we are here and we're going to talk about it in full. So welcome to the Last of Us episode. The And Messed Up, And That's Why We Messed Up podcast review of The Last of Us. For those, this is going to be spoilerific. We're going into it. I'm not going to hold back. So if you haven't watched it and you do want to watch it, pause and watch it.
I wouldn't say leave us and then
it's gonna take a while.
Yeah, it's a few hours.
Nine hours. Minimum. I mean, so stop. Like, come back to us. No, listen to our episode. You know, Top Table's funny. It's really good.
Maybe watch it. Do episodic. So you watch episode, and you listen to like maybe 10 minutes of this, then watch the other episode. Then, like that. Yeah. I mean, it's long, but it's dedication. And, appreciate it.
Well, it is. We'll try and do the breakdown of But yeah, Last of Us. Series. Funny, you all watched it. Been a long time since we've all been on the same. We watch the same thing and we're going to give our opinions. So, once again, this is completely spoilerific. I'm not holding back. So, if you don't want to hear spoilers, just listen to one of our episodes. We got a couple of seasons, man. Listen to our hilarity. So, my absolute biggest shout out first off to Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin for what was put on television. I watched episode 1 to 3. That took a lot out of me, I'll be honest with you. I had to stop halfway through 3 because it was doing my head in. It was really upsetting me. Pushed through and just did all of it. And my God. Episode 1. Break it down like that. Can I give a shout out to welcome back John Hannah. I have not seen you for a long time. It was wonderful. I think the thing that I was worried about how they were going to translate it to the screen. Do you get what I mean? I wondered where they were going to
That's always going to be the worry because when it comes to any kind of adaptation, especially video game adaptation, you always worry how they're going to do it and what they're going to do, how they're going to start off. And we've lived when they've made terrible, awful mistakes or choices But this was, dare I say, perfect?
Yeah,
because
I think it was as close to perfection.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, as a person who's played the first game, I got what I wanted from the first episode. I got an explanation of what to expect.
Yep.
I got to see more from a character I played in a video game.
Yeah.
And I got to see more about certain characters throughout the game. Right there in those first 20 minutes of the episode.
And then the little
hints that you see that something's going. What's wrong?
Sorry,
The little hints you saw that something was things aren't quite right. There are little things you see in the background, like shops closing early. Like people freaking out in the background, like people leave, like, okay, it's slowly coming together. And it built up so well, just like the video game, the tension.
Really did.
Go on.
If anything, I think what it reminded me of weirdly was in the first season, The Handmaid's Tale, they show you like how it, like when shit kicks off. And they like show like how the women are basically like at work and told that they have no access to money. They've got to go home. Their cards are seized and by armed guard. And it's just so like, oh my God. The difference though is that there was music in that, and really good music. Does an excellent kind of job of hammering home the horror of it. This, I noticed it. I don't know if you guys did. It was played without music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
there was no music at all. It didn't feel the need to kind of, you know, sometimes films and TV shows do this thing where they need to hammer home what year it is. So they deliberately blast out music to go, oh, this is the year it was, to kind of put you there. They didn't feel the need to do that because they were just like, nah, we're not doing that. And I think that's because, I mean, Craig, so those who don't know, Craig Mazin with Neil Druckmann is the writer of The Last of Us video game. He saw it through to Naughty Dog, and here it is. And Craig Mazin was the lead writer behind Chernobyl. So when that was announced, I was like, okay, you're going serious. And I think that's part of the problem with like video game stuff. I still think there are a lot of directors, whether it's like of stuff, who kind of see it as like, oh, it's a video game. How hard can it be? Do you know what I mean? And it's like, and right there, you're missing the point. And that first sequence of that series from 1960s with John Hannah explaining about, you know, fungi, like viruses, how it works, etc., was just, because that's the thing, like, I think as gamers, we take for granted how certain mechanics just work. We just like, oh, okay, that's, we just get on it, we're immersed, right? But on a show, you have to explain how some of this shit works to make it, make the audience kind of buy in.
Mm.
And that was done beautifully. So I think the bit I love is the fact that, like, there's this hint about the cordyceps is through the, is through, like, wheat products.
Yeah.
And the fact that, which I think was what we're talking about, bruv, isn't it? Like, so basically, if you watch it, like I said, we're in now, like, there's a part where Joel goes to have pancakes, but the pancake mix is out.
Yep.
So he throws it out. There's a part where his daughter Sarah's going to have cookies. She doesn't end up having the cookies. And then when he's offered a muffin, he says he's doing Atkins. So you now see this whole setup where Tommy, Joel, and Sarah have not imbibed any wheat.
Mm.
And it links. They just, and they basically, like, they don't hammer it home and basically, like, say it like another three. Like, they're basically like, you could almost miss it. But it's right there. I feel that, like, hits the gamer in us. And then they reference it in the second episode and the third, and then that's it. Because, like, there's no point. It's no point. It's almost like Joel kind of at the end says it, like, in case you missed it. But I thought that was executed brilliantly. And it made it more, oh, creepy because there was no music.
No, I said the thing, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Anyone who's played the game, you know it was a slow builder and the tension was high.
Yeah.
And when it hits, it hits. And to transfer that from game to screen, and the thing is, anyone who's watched, let alone episode one, is since like Game of Thrones, there's been this new level where TV programs has been kind of like a film sort of thing, cinematic experience. And if as you pointed out, it was the little things. I mean, the shop closing early for obviously what's coming next, the dog acting differently, the neighbor next door, everything was building. I remember I was watching that and I think I know what's coming, but it was just done to perfection. It was slow, 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 bang.
Yeah. And because in the way you begin the game in a bit of a bang, like you have a bit of time with your Sarah, and you're walking around, you're looking at stuff. It's 11 o'clock, which they reference, and I love that. Like, I love, like, saying to people, like, where you know, as gamers, we start halfway through your episode one. If you watch it, that's where we start off, and it just kicks off. But you need that time, like, as a kid twitching in the class. With it going down, and there's always these lucky escapes, and I loved it. I loved to see, and I loved how some parts of it looked like the actual game, like the way the camera was like going around. I remember doing that in the game where I was looking around, like, how am I getting out of the car that's turned over, kind of thing. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's done well. I mean, for me, if the once everything turns to shit and they're running out and jumping into the car, that one shot of the driving, the crash, the explosion, all that, all in one go. I'm like, I remember stopping there and I was laughing to myself because I'm watching this scene and I'm like, where's the control pad in my hand? Because I just thought about that.
Same thing. I was like, wait. I was like, no, you're not. It's okay. Because it just looked, especially like on the remaster as well, because it looks so clean.
Yeah.
You're like, oh God. But that first scene, well, that first sequence, I think, was a really good setup to kind of set that in motion, and then just have us get a little bit. And it's like in the game time, it's only like a few hours early. It's like basically 8 o'clock in the morning that we're getting. And it was a really good setup to introduce herself to Joel, to Sarah, to Tommy, and these hints of the kind of people that they are as well.
Mm.
You know, so that was good. And then obviously we had the kickoff. And how did you feel about it, bruv? Like, from the house onwards?
How I feel about it?
Yeah.
I was
with the neighbor bit.
the name, like, thing is, the only, like, you, like, with the original game, you, again, you didn't, you weren't in the neighbor's house beforehand, basically. You know, you never saw, like, you go on and did something happens to the neighbors, because in the game, you, Joel kills one of the neighbors in front of his door, because obviously he's been affected. But, like, with that scene when Sarah's in the house, and the grandma is going, like, doing, like, just is doing, like, a Pennywise in the background, like, shit's about to go down, but I was thinking to myself, it's a bit too early, but I was like, but then, like, but obviously it went down late that night, so so when it actually when it all broke down, like, because, like, a part of it, like, that sequence from, like, they, when they decide to leave the house, and then it all breaks out, it takes me back to the Dawn of the Dead remake. Because, like, it was like, Joel shot someone, and then, like, the neighbor was like, why'd you shoot them? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Then it got back up, and after the other neighbor, like literally that scene in Dawn of the Dead when the boyfriend's running after her, then she somehow runs after that person instead. I was like, oh shit. And like that beautiful chaos hit so well. Like, it just hit different, and I was just like, okay, like I was invested from the moment the series started. Like, it was, because let's be honest, it was I was watching a game, I was watching a film version of a game, but, you know, So like, but when it all came down to that scene because I remember playing that scene for the first time, and I said, I can't. I was like, there are a few games I've played that made me cry. Last of Us was the first. Spider-Man was the second. But that scene just hit so well, because you had Troy Baker's mocap, and then you just had that sensation of just, you can feel, like, her reactions as well. It's like that genuine pain you could feel her, and that look of "Daddy, help me!" Like, she couldn't even say. It's like, I can't. I have never stopped a game so fast just to calm myself down. Usually, it's out of fear. That was just out of pure sorrow, and I was just like,
I stopped playing after that bit, because you bought it for me for my birthday.
Yeah, I remember.
And I started playing, and I stopped immediately. I stopped. I was like, I'm not spending the last 5 minutes of my birthday crying. No, I stopped it.
I remember when I first played that, and I went into that with no heads up, no nothing. And I experienced that. My whole tone changed. I went through all the stages like she was my own daughter. And from then, I thought to myself, you know what? Okay, you've got me here. You've got me hot, line, and sinker. Because the feel, as you said, that range of emotion for a game, and let alone a character you just pretty much just get to know, that set the tone of pretty much how I was going to play that game. And yet again, it changed throughout, because the emotions are run high throughout that game. And it was beautifully done, yet again, from game to screen. It was flawless. And that's something which I haven't said about a TV, well, for a pilot, so to speak, in a very long time.
Also, I want to shout out the initial, like, title sequences. Absolutely beautiful. I think it really kind of conveyed what we were dealing with. And I'm so, like, I'm just so glad they got the original Gustavo, the original guy who did musician, the music to do it all. Because I'm like, that, the music is intrinsic to Last of Us. It really is. And I just was like, there's no one else who can do it. There's no one who can get the feel of it and execute it in that way. So I'm glad they kept with Gustavo, because it's beautiful. It's hauntingly beautiful. And I love that the kind of juxtaposition as we start in where they're going through that little kid. Because it's almost like children are the thing that keep coming up through The Last of Us. there's always this focus on kids at some point. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I started to notice. There's always this, it's only like in a, it's in a very few episodes there aren't children. So like episode three is like, doesn't really have kids at all, other than Ellie. But it's this kind of focus of the children and how things work and what's there. I just getting into it and getting to meeting these characters, because obviously it's like you have to meet Joel again, because we're getting a 20 year later Joel. We're getting a Tess, we're getting all these characters. And you know, it's like they're badasses beyond badass. And once again, brilliant casting. The casting was great, the execution. Pedro goddamn Pascal.
Daddy!
Is there nothing this man cannot do? Pedro Pascal.
Well, apparently you can't take on the mountain.
Okay, there's that. You can't take on the mountain. But other than that...
just saying.
Just that. It's fine. But Pedro Pascal, because there is a... because there's differences, and I think I have like read interviews with Neil Druckmann before this was a series, and I remember the whole reason for The Last of Us is him saying that, look, we were kids who came up with the original Atari and shit. We're old now. We're not kids anymore. And what is it like to navigate a world where those gamers are adults and we want a different story? We want something that's going to touch us. We have concerns about our children and the future and the world we're in and what that looks like. And that is how The Last of Us came to be. And I think, and also in keeping with that, with Neil Druckmann in it and directing a lot of some of the episodes as well, it really kept to that whole thing of consequences.
Yeah, and that's spot on, that right there.
Sorry, what's that, big man?
No, I said 100% spot on about consequences. A reaction causes a reaction with that.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of gaming, there are other kind of games similar to which are quite heavy on consequences. Like the first thing I can think of is Spec Ops: The Line. That's very much a game where it's like you're gonna deal with your consequences, and also BioShock as well. Especially the first one more, but Last of Us is a very different beast. So it's a lot to wrangle in a game anyway, because you're supposed to be living through Joel, and obviously when you are picking up the controller, you default to that you are the protagonist, you are the good guy. And the funny thing is, it kind of begins with Joel going, I'm not a good guy. I'm not a good guy. I just get shit done. Got to say, the set design's really good. Fantastic. Felt like... And obviously, brother, then you've been playing and I kind of backseated and watched. And it's just like, screen to screen, this is perfect. It's almost the same. Feels the same. Looks the same. Same grit and the same grime. And just the way it kicks off. And I love that the voice actor who played Marlene is still the same actress in it. I almost feel like I can't envision anybody else being Marlene. And I also was glad she got time to get like to expand a bit. Do you get what I mean? Beyond mocap.
Because like to be fair, like with Marlene, you only deal with her in the game like twice.
Yeah.
So like that's what this show did. You got backstory without diverting from the main story. I've said multiple times, like I keep bringing this up, but this is what we wanted from our Resident Evil films. This is what we wanted, because like, give me backstory while still telling the same story I've been wanting to play, or I've been playing for years. That's all fans want at the end of the day. Some of us can get pissed off about it because we can never make us happy. But at the same time, that's all we want from our gaming content. I mean, you can get away with doing something away from that, from a story, if you're doing something with like Sonic, Mario, it makes sense, because there isn't really a big backstory from the old games other than find a princess in the castle and Sonic get all the little fuzzy animals out of the machines, you know. Like what they've done with those films, perfectly fine. Like I have no issues with that, but with story heavy games like Last of Us, Resident Evil, God of War, you know, Bayonetta, Devil May Cry. Give us what we want in the gameplay and with a bit of backstory. If you want to add a character too, but just don't make sure it doesn't divert from what we love, basically.
Enhance it like seasoning.
Exactly, and that's what The Last of Us was. It was given some all-purpose seasoning, and we got all these choices and divergences in different stories that some were original. Episode 3.
Oof. Right, before we get to episode 3, episode 2, that Jakarta sequence though. That's what I'm like, that beginning bit, that whole thing where we like go, because it was obviously referenced on television in the background of episode 1 about the outbreak in Jakarta. Then we start there and it's almost like, I don't mean to impress upon you, but you need to understand how high the stakes are. Because when this woman sits there and it's like, when the guy's like, can you manufacture a vaccine? She was like, No. And she's like, bomb. I was like, rah, whoa, 2 minutes in. Mm. Wow. And she's like, bomb it. Bomb the whole thing. Because like, that's the thing with knowledge, is that it's like, you have the gift and the curse of knowing what is up. And she was just, you can see her doing the quick maths, because I remember when she's doing the maths, and her hands start shaking. And that was enough for me. I'm like, that little subtle, we didn't need someone shouting. We just need someone to take in and go, I have the knowledge and you don't even understand what you've just told me.
Yeah.
Because it's when the guy goes, which goes, how many are missing? It's like 14. I was like, just times it, innit?
Yeah.
I know what she's doing. And we're just like, bomb it. I was like, and before the title seat? Yeah. This is the title sequence.
That's like, if you want to get your hope taken away for a cure or in any way, shape or form, or for a happy ending of something like that.
Don't watch it. This ain't the one for you.
Oh, hell no.
And I think that is why I think this is why it works, because just like certain other programs, if you're going thinking, oh, it's going to be all right, hey, I'm going to be smiling. No one ain't smiling here today. Yeah. Leave that emotion at the door, because it's going to get dark, it's going to get bleak, and it's going to get real very quickly.
Any other time I've experienced something similar is when, this is years ago, and I was going to work, and a very popular TV series had just dropped, and everyone then became fans. And I was reading it, Game of Thrones. And people were happy, right? Because where they were at, they were like, this, that. And I've got the book under my arm. And this one guy I used to work with, he looked at me, I looked at him. And people were happy because a big event had happened. And I looked at him, he looked at me. And he's gone to me on the quiet. He's like, how far are they from the Red One Inn? I go, no, I think it's next week. I go, oh, shit. I go, no, no. Because they were so happy. They were like, oh, they're so happy.
I had never read anything of Game of Thrones until I saw the TV series. Never going books, never. So I was a first timer for that. And, well.
When I tell you the next week, me and same bro walking in, we were the only confident ones. People were quiet. And this woman goes up to me, she's like, why don't you tell me? I was like, we actually asked you if you wanted the truth when I said, because I'm on book 3. So we asked you if you wanted to know, and you were like, nope. And we were like, good luck with that. And she was like, they were decimated. I'm like, and then my same guy was like, do you think this is the worst? And I was like, yeah. And that's what that felt like. It was like, when I saw some people who hadn't gamed it and they were like, oh, but this is really cute. I'm like, oh god, and even like now, a friend of mine I was out to dinner with this week was talking about it, and she was talking about season 2, and I'm like, I just want to manage your expectations, just manage your expectations, okay? She's like, what about one? Just manage the expectations is all I'm gonna say to you, okay? She's like, okay, I've got, just think of the tone we've had so far. Okay, double it. Manage expectations. So I've given one friend the heads up already. Yeah, episode two. So, how do you guys feel about the pacing of it?
Considering...
You first, bro. Go ahead.
Considering how long the game is, because the game is filled with lots of, like, different scenes of being stealth, taking on raiders, lots of action, to be fair, it was paced pretty well. Because, again, considering what they had to work with, they stayed, it kept a very good pace for what it, for the content they actually had to work with. So, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I thought it was paced really well.
I have to concur with bro. I didn't think nothing was undervalued or overused for the amount of content.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
That you had to deal with, I thought they did it pretty well. I mean, there was no filler episode, nothing like that. To me, everything was kept. And it, to be fair, how many episodes was it? 9 or 10?
Nine.
I thought 9 was perfect because it wasn't too much, wasn't overkill, and for me, it flowed perfectly. It wasn't, I know, like in some series, there's always an episode where you think, oh, you know, it's good, but it wasn't. Nah. Every episode had you emotionally, or you wanted to rip shit up, or you wanted to destroy something. There was no one episode where you can say, no, that one's pretty weak. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the thing with episode two, I like how they explained like game mechanics. So I like the fact that they explained about the cordyceps being like linked by a fungal network, like in a forest, and that whole scene of when they see like the bodies move in the light was fantastic to me. I really, really like that, because I think I wondered, like, how do you explain like game mechanics? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we just take it for granted that it just is, it's the new mechanic. But it's like, how do you explain that and put that across to a non-gamer audience? And I think just doing that, and especially I think the decision of Neil Druckmann and other writers to kind of base it in reality. I think I told y'all that I went to a market and they were selling cordyceps, right?
Yeah, you did.
And it freaked me out.
Yeah, as it should.
I was just like, don't do that. Oh God, the first clicker. Because you know I hate stealth, so it was like, I feel sick to my stomach. But that first clicker, it did my head in a little bit. Which I thought was a feat, considering that I knew it was coming. just seeing it in the flesh, do you get what I mean, other than a video game. What did you think about that sequence when they were in the university?
I was back in the game. I was like holding on to something. I didn't know what I was holding on to at the time. I was holding on to it tight, like I was like it was a controller, but it was my phone, I think. But like it took me back to the first time I had to do selfish. I mean, you saw me have to redo it on the stream the other day, so
I did.
So I was like, geez, I can't remember the first time I had to do it. It took me a while to get past it.
Because I
was just freaking myself out, but
And also, you know how I'm really, really good at stealth. Like, I'm
love stealth. You're the Brixton Ninja. We all know this.
It wasn't like I really was crying about it at all or throwing anything about the stealth in Last of Us. Also, bruv, I know you in particular. Didn't it feel good when I picked up loot?
Yes! Because, like, again, like in any kind of zombie apocalypse game, like, the looting part is the most satisfying because it just calms you down. Or calms me down anyway. I was like, another gun. Like, bandages. Yes. Okay. Rags. Oh, give me all the rags. Thank you very much. Like, that's just satisfying to see because, like, obviously, it's part of every game, any kind of survival game. So to see it done in live action is always cool. But one thing I will say from episode two that I appreciated more was I felt that Tess was given a better goodbye.
Yes.
Because because in the game originally she was killed off by she got bitten, but she was killed off by raiders.
Raiders, yeah.
But like in this one, in the series, she went out a hero.
Did.
So I appreciated that a lot more than the game. So that's one thing the series did better than the game. I will definitely give it that credit.
Because
she went out on her own on her own terms, and it was done. I thought I was done right, perfectly.
Yeah, so I really agree with that. Episode 3.
Right, can I just do a small break here?
Yeah.
Episode 3.
Yeah.
Obviously, a spoiler free, but I'm not going to say that much about it. I can honestly say, it has to be personally for me. One of the best standalone episodes I have seen in any TV series. I don't cry during any TV series, apart from maybe Star Trek Next Generation, Skin of Death when Natasha Yor died. But I haven't cried at any episode in nearly 20 plus years. That episode got me. It got me. I felt emotion, which I haven't felt in a very long time. And that everyone who was involved, from cast to script to makeup, everything, it was, even now talking about it, I was getting emotional again. I can't put it into words. I really can't.
Nick Offerman.
The man.
And Murray Bartlett as Frank. Nick Offerman, Bill, and Murray Bartlett as Frank.
Yeah.
It broke my heart.
I was watching on the tube.
Oh my god!
And I came close to bawling my eyes out on the tube, like multiple times watching that. To be fair, I'm not even gonna lie. But
sorry, bruv. Sorry, I cut you. Go.
No, go.
It was fantastic to get a background to the letters that, because you can kind of technically not get, if you don't go hunting too tough, you don't really get a lot of background. Like, you could kind of miss them, because if you don't search, you don't get the letters in the game.
That's true.
So you could technically just kind of come in where we basically Ellie and Joel came in and miss it, which would be a shame. But once again, this is back to what you said about the seasoning. This whole bit. And I think that's the whole thing. Like, the whole focus a lot of times with, like, zombie situations and what have you in survival is that we recognise there are set people who are loving, want this stuff to happen. They're happy. They're prepping for it. They're waiting for it so they can be their worst selves. And I think it was... a fantastic exploration of wanting and hating something so much, hating a world so much that you want it to end, a world that's not been kind to you. And in this strange time, the experience of love and grace and tenderness, which we all fucking deserve. And I cannot think of a better person to play that than Nick Offerman. And yeah. I absolutely love the bit where Frank takes up the music and decimates the Linda Ronstadt song, and then Nick Offerman plays it, as in, Bill plays it with the tenderness. And it's the elephant in the room. I know people are going to be upset about it, because how dare we show gay intimate relationships? How dare we show older men be intimate?
Time out, they were gay?
Spoiler.
I thought they were just bros.
They were really bros in the bedroom. Yeah, really bros.
They were wrestling. That's what all guys do, right?
Okay, cool. Yeah, apparently so. To be honest with you, to me, I'm like, if it upsets you that much, you need to look into yourself and ask you why it's upsetting you that much. Mm-hmm. And that is actually the character of God, of Bill, because he even says, I wasn't afraid until I met you. And the part that I'm going to try to get through this, but the part where he says, you gave me purpose and I have met my purpose. I was done. I was goddamn done. Because it's just this. And also, I have to love the fact that when Frank turned up, he wanted to restore the boutique and also the wine shop. Mm. Because it's the whole thing of all of these threads lead to the whole thing, which is like, if you forget your humanity, then what's the goddamn point of doing this? And it's still a thing to Joel. If you forget who you are, if you forget kindness and decency in terms of treating people, then what's the goddamn point? And to choose the alternative is why it's almost like we get this part in episode 3 where it's like, this is one way to do it. This is one way to choose. Because we don't think of things like, if you can survive the situation, but then illness sets in, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. How do you meet that? Things that we treated, Alzheimer's, motor neurone, things like that can be treated in a limited fashion. How do we deal with that? And it was one of the best pieces of television I had watched in a long time. And I think it was just, I love the fact that he's like, I hate you, Joel. I don't like you.
But you're my friend.
And once Bella Ramsey, this is where she began. Like, she came out the gate heavy. Because I think people sometimes forget Ellie can be a bit annoying, as Ellie should be. She's still a child. She's still little. She's still this little thing, like, kind of thing. And
to be fair, all kids are dicks, let's be honest. This would be quite
yeah,
funny.
Kids are dicks. Like, do you know what I mean? But I like that. Like, but I also like that we get a glimpse into how she doesn't know stuff. Mm. But like, I love when they were leaving, goes, put your seatbelt on. And she was like, and you go, oh my God, she's never driven the car.
Yeah, it was the awe when she saw things.
The awe, because like, she's like looking at it. Yeah, and Bella Ramsey, like, she, like, I think that could have been played, like, really, like, disingenuously by somebody else, but she really played it with, like, this is amazing. Like, I've only seen them in books, like, kind of thing. That's when I was like, oh, she is good. Because in the beginning, she did the annoying bit well. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, shut up. But it was the rest, and it's like, from that episode onwards, she, oh my God, did she act.
See, one thing I've got to say, I have appreciation for Betty Ramsey, was like, I never realized it until I saw the episode when Ashley Johnson was in there playing her mum.
Yeah.
And the voice cadence.
Yeah.
Was spot on. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you put on the game version of Ellie next to the live action version of Ellie, the voice cadence is spot on. And I'm just like, do you know what? Hands down to them. Hounds down to them, because they smacked it.
Well done. I feel like that was, and I almost kind of love the fact that we kind of get Ellie and Joel turn up at this all this emotion. We're really upset, you know, Bill and Frank leave on their terms. And we get this locked door, and then here comes Ellie and Joel. And it's like, yeah, because in the game, like, this is where we come in. This is really where we come in. We don't know any of this stuff. And it just adds, I don't know. It's almost like this weird, like, it sounds twee saying it. Like, I was blessed to see behind the curtain for a bit. But it also felt like, gamers, look for the loot, because you get extra story. Look for the lore. Look for it. Like, there's so much richness in the lore, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm putting that across in the most coherent way, but I felt kind of like, oh my god, yeah, because you could miss this. You could just come to Bill's, get the first letter, and then just stock up and go. That's it. Whereas, and then like, I cried a bit when like it ends and it's like it's through the window, and you know what I like. That we didn't see their bodies.
Yes, that would have ruined it. That would have ruined it.
I'm really, really happy that we didn't see Bill and Frank. I think it would have ruined it. And it's weird for something that is like in your face with stuff, but it chooses when to put it in your face and when to go, you don't need to see that. You don't need to, and it does it throughout. It was like, you don't need to see that. It just puts enough in your head to let you do a bit of work, which I think is part of the immersion of gaming sometimes, where it's like, we're letting you do the work by hinting at things, and also the audience, you're going to do that too. Yeah, I've just realised, because this is like the first time we've done this, like a thorough breakdown of something like this, and it's really close to our hearts, I've just realised how long we've gone on. And I think we're going to have to put this into two parts. I think we're going to have to do like a two-parter on this.
I think so.
If you guys don't mind. Because I just feel like we've just got into it. We're just getting our thoughts and feels down. I feel like it's an event. And I'm having, to me to go, and then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 happened. And that was that. I feel like it's really disingenuous. So if you will, I think we can continue this.
Well, to be fair, I think we can still do one, talk about episode 4, and then we should call it quits.
Okay, you know what? Let's talk about episode 4, and then I think we call it quits. And then, yeah, we'll get back to it, you know, because I feel like it's worthy of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Completely. Okay, so episode 4. Oh, God.
I've got to say, it's one of my favourites.
Why is that, bro? Please tell me.
Because one thing I've like, I'm a sucker for good relationships. And when you're with someone, when you're traveling with someone for not so long, especially with one being quite cold, one being quite, what's the word I'm looking for? Not intuitive, but what, like, I can't think of a word now. The word's gone. What's the word for like when you want to know stuff? So you like, you know, just you got
inquisitive.
Inquisitive. That's not intuitive. Inquisitive. Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. Inquisitive, obviously, and like you can see he's slowly losing his patience, but at the same time, because me and Joel have shared a moment where we've lost our daughter. That was my daughter too. Because technically, yeah. I was you, Joel. So I lost your daughter too. But at the same time, I want you to like Ellie because you're going to be with Ellie for a while, and I know she's not a bad person. She's annoying as fuck, but she's not a bad person. So when you start to see them, the little glimpses of them just coming together and starting to like each other, like the moment where she got him to laugh for the first time over a pun, or he got him got her to laugh, he quoted a pun back to her. There it is. And literally, like, even before that, like, she saved Joel's life.
Yes.
Grant, she had to shoot someone for the second time. It was that moment of just bringing them together, because that was the catalyst to start that relationship properly now.
Yeah.
Because like, they even established that at the end of the day, it wasn't my fault that what happened to Tess. Don't blame me for it. And I was like, yeah, she's right. It's not her fault. It's not her fault. And Joel was like, even he didn't say it, but he could say like, yeah, okay, I get you. Oh, yeah, you're right. Mm. But I think that's the main reason that was my favorite episode, because like, because at the end of the day, it's the story of Joel and Ellie and how they get from A to B and how this relationship grows. Because you all know, it's all gonna be about that relationship at the end of the day. That's the main premise of the show of the game is that relationship. And just to see it finally develop, that just gave me joy. That gave me a bit of joy. Because I was like, oh, they're friends now. Yeah.
With that warm fuzzy feeling.
Exactly. Because you need some warm fuzzies in at the end of the world. You know.
It was done. It's done. Even it was more of a lighter humor episode between them two as well. And that's the faces, the jokes. You see Joel's trying not to laugh, but he's like, that I thought, nice touch. And you know what I mean. Even the way episode 4 ends, I'm like, bloody hell.
But I gotta say, seeing what's her name from, because I know I know her as the creepy stalker woman from Two and a Half Men. And seeing her, I was like, oh damn, she ain't ramping.
I really like Kathleen. She played character. Melanie Lynskey. She's in Yellow Jacket.
Not any good, by the way.
Apparently it's really, I haven't good. Watched it, apparently but really I've good. Heard really good things. I've heard really good things. I want to watch it. I feel like recently, there's been like with action with women. There's a certain type. It's very like John Wick adjacent in action recently, right?
Mm.
What I liked about Melody Linsky is she's one, a bigger woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I relate to her.
I relate to her too.
Two, she's insidious. She just is like, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. And I actually took it personally because I knew what her motives were.
Yeah.
So I got that this cold, it's like fake warmness where it's like, I'm just asking questions. Asking questions like flipping Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada. Just like, why did you think that was a good idea? Hey, you want a gun to your head? Okay. And it's just said very matter-of-factly. And then she just... And it's the whole thing of, like, she's doing heinous shit.
Mm.
And we're going to see more heinous shit that she does. But it's like, she's going to do heinous shit. And... But I just like it that at that point, you don't get any explanation. Just like, it just is what it is. And we're going to do what we're going to do. And that's it. Not with a kind of shouting, screaming, or that kind of like robotic. It's just like, it is what it is. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I really, really enjoyed it. Because I could, because we get to the other side of consequences. We're starting to get to the other side of this thing. And I really enjoyed, because like I said, I'm thinking of it as a stalker woman from Two and a Half Men. And she said, bruv. But then she, because she has this other kind of, this steel. And it's like, what's made you this way? It was like making me ask more questions than anything else.
Mm.
And then, of course, it ends with
Henry and Sam.
Mm.
See, the thing is, we do have no time to talk about episode 5. To be fair, because like when it comes to Henry and Sam, and even Kathleen. I see it from both their sides.
Yes, completely.
Because, like, at the end of the day, we're talking about siblings involved in the situation. The fact of the matter is, if you were dying, I'm not saying I will sell out Big Man or Clint. I'm saying I'll sell out people I don't care about instantly to get what I need to save you. I'm not going to hesitate. And I get her resentment. I get her anger and I get her determination because she lost a brother. So, you know, like if I love my sister, I'm raining down sulfur like I was an angel of death. So I get it from both sides. So no one's right, no one's wrong. That's the thing with The Last of Us. It's just a land of grey.
Yeah.
Because
it's a grey situation. And it's just like, oh, it's... When she talks about episode 5, and you know, I've realized I've forgotten to say that each episode does have like titles. I do love the fact that the first title links directly, the first episode links directly to the last episode in terms of title. Mm. But the fifth episode is called Endure and Survive. Yeah. And it's when she talks about why she's after Henry, I'm like, I get it.
Mm.
I get it. I get it, and I can't say I won't be doing the same thing. I, you know, and because even when she goes, like, he told me to forgive. She's like, I ain't doing that. But it's also the whole thing of, like, yes, but you've now made a choice. That choice now has side effects, has consequences that you have to answer to. And it's just, talk about the pacing on that episode as well. Because I was like, I'm dreading it. To the point where when you sent me the screenshot, like, going, I can't do this again. I was like, what's that? And I was like, oh. And when you, like, I was like, no, oh no, oh God. And it made me really, like, oh no, I've got to do this again. I've got to watch this again, but worse. And then, like, watching Ellie get along with Sam was just heartbreaking. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
But it was the fact that it was the, what they added to it, because obviously this didn't happen again, because no one knew that he got bitten. And then when he showed her,
and she tries to help,
I was like, it's not gonna work. I want it to work. I really want it to work.
But, yeah.
And then
I think it's a little detail, like, that in a way, because she fell asleep, it saved her life.
That's true.
Because obviously they go by sound. And because she was asleep when he was turned, and also in the sun, because remember in the sun, the first time they show you the clickers when they're moving, they like move with the sun and kind of like almost like are sated by the sun. So because he was sitting on the bed in the sunlight, he was sated until she made a noise. It's because she at the same time, but obviously also he's also deaf.
Yeah,
he's so deaf. He's deaf, so he couldn't hear her make a noise. So that kind of saved her a bit as well. But also it's when she touched him.
Yeah, that's when he.
And that was it. And it was just, and I think that the delivery of that scene, oh my, with the, just how quick it was.
But you know, but do you know what I've realised about the episode now? I just thought about it.
What's that?
It gives a message about revenge and selfishness in a sense. Like, I've never realised it before, because obviously, because of Kathleen's need for revenge, she basically sacrificed her whole community, because she didn't warn anyone about the impending doom of clickers coming from underground, and they all suffered for it. And then because Henry betrayed his community for the medicine for his son, granted it was his brother. Granted, it was for to save someone he loves, but instead it was the needs of the many outweigh the needs of a few. And he had to kill his own brother, and
it was so quick.
It was like the game.
It was done perfectly. That whole, bam, and it's like I just and I'm like, that would probably be me. That would, because like it's all for nothing, and then to do it, and I think my daughter pointed out, she's like, the way Ellie screams, and I was like, and it was perfectly done. And the pain, and it was just, and it's like from then Ellie's different.
Yeah.
Cool. Ellie's completely different. And it's just that, like, oh, it, you know, I think that the Kathleen thing is, oh, and the bloater could be that terrified the hell out. Once again, knew it was coming, was still terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Was still like, and also, I think when Big Man said it, I was looking for the controller.
Was that?
I need to shoot it, because that's, no. Oh, God. Ugh. That, yeah, I think that's something that was done really well with Last of Us. They didn't over-egg the zombie stuff. Do you get what, which sounds weird, but do you know what I mean? You know, sometimes it's like, it just showed you enough to keep that constant fear of like, yeah, people are thinking, but there's this constant fear of this.
You're absolutely spot on there. Again, I have to also say that part where everything comes to a grinding halt, and Joel's in the top shooting.
Oh yeah.
That, and yet again, control pad in hand moment where I'm thinking, this is too surreal now. Yeah, put down the invisible pad and just watch. It was stunning. It's just literally playing an on-game without a controller.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should call it that.
I think on Endurance Survive we're going to stop. Because this is we've opened up a can of worms, and I'm loving it because it's like we so rarely get such a good delivery on something, and this was so beautiful, so I'm happy to talk about it. But part two will have to come on the next occasion. So thank you for your ears. I mean, like I said, we spoiled it, but we have also kind of missed out some bits and nuances and stuff. So please, if you haven't watched it, I'm going to urge you hard. You do not, and I say it again, I said it to Laura. You don't have to have played the game. You lose nothing by not playing the game. If anything, the gamers just get a bit more, an extra side on their platter. But
if anything, it might encourage you to play the game.
It might even encourage you to pick up and play the game, which I am all for. But thank you for your ears. Thank you for listening. We're going to continue with the last three episodes next time. Four. Yeah, four. Sorry, my God, the last four episodes. Sorry, there are nine episodes. Next time. But until then, hit us up on Instagram at messedupod or Twitter at andmessed or email at sendjudesavengers@gmail.com. Big man, what's your socials?
I can be found on Twitter at war3782 and on Instagram Mr_Roberts_V1. Bro, where can we find you?
You can find me on YouTube under InstantClassic_KB, where I post videos weekly. And I also started going back into streaming, so I do that on kick.com/instantclassic-gaming. And you can also find me on Instagram and Twitch and TikTok under InstantClassic_gaming.
Awesome. Once again, thank you for your ears. We will continue our discussion, breakdown, review of The Last of Us TV series with a bit of the game smashed in next time. Until then, take care. Look after yourself.
See you later.
Bye. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.